if this is your first time here and you came expecting Pastor Ken, I apologize. I am not him. You will have to come back next week if you want to hear that. But he has given me the privilege today to share a message with you guys that I'm pretty passionate about, and it's very fitting with this being Right to Life Sunday. So I would rather be up here talking to you about Christmas, when Jesus came to live a sinless life and die for us. I would rather talk to you about Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death and the grave. I wish we didn't have to set aside a day to tell people that a baby in the womb is a life. But I'm also grateful that we live in a country where we can set aside that day and where we can raise a voice for those who cannot have one. So this and many other factors that we're going to look at here shortly lead me to believe that we have absolutely lost the concept of the value of life, not just here in our society, not just in America, but all over the world. Folks simply do not understand that every life matters, regardless of social or economic status, race, color, creed, education level, ability, physical ability, or disability. Every life has value and purpose. So I'm going to share some things that seem pretty bleak here at first, but the good news is that there is a solution to all of it, and we are a part of that solution. So many of the things that demonstrate that we no longer understand the concept of the value of life, the first thing we're going to look at is suicide. Suicide numbers are on the rise across the board. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death here in America, and even more staggering, it is the second leading cause of death among kids ages 10 to 14. That is the most impressionable time in a child's life, and if they do not decide, that's the time when most people decide whether they're going to follow Jesus or follow the world, and if they take their own lives before they make that decision, and you just don't want to think about it, right? For those of you who are up in arms, no pun intended, about gun violence, there are actually twice as many suicides reported every year as there are homicides. And the numbers of suicides continue to increase each year, especially among kids, senior citizens, and our military and first responders. They do not realize the value of their own lives. They come to a point where they can no longer handle what life has given to them, not realizing that there is still more to their story. They have a call and they have a purpose for their lives. And it seems like every time you turn on the news, there's some kind of killing. We have had very tragic days in our nation in the past years. There are school shootings, mass public shootings. Recently in New York, there were several attacks against the Jewish community, attacks against the church community. And there seem to be terror attacks in some country, somewhere, every day. Shootings, suicide bombers, random acts of violence. Folks taking other folks' lives, not understanding the value of what they are stealing and what they are destroying. And then, of course, we have the folks like Planned Parenthood doing terrible things to the babies in these mothers' wombs, spreading their lies that it's okay because it's not really a life. It's just a clump of cells. Over 50 million abortions have been performed here in America since the passing of Roe versus Wade. And over 800,000 abortions were performed last year alone. But there is good news in that bleak situation. And some of that credit goes to you guys. For the past several years, the numbers of abortions have been decreasing every year, and they are now at an all-time low since the passing of Roe versus Wade. All right? Yeah? Yeah. All right? And I say you guys are a big part of that solution because every year you support the Hagerstown Area Pregnancy Clinic, and they do everything that they can to end abortion right here in our community. They provide area girls and women with a safe, non-judgmental place to get all the information they need to make an informed decision about their unplanned pregnancy. Facing overwhelming pressure, many of those ladies consider abortion to be their only option, but the HAPC recognizes the value of every life, of the mother and of the child. And they take these women under their wings and help them choose life. Last year alone, 74 babies were saved through the Hagerstown Area Pregnancy Clinic. Right? And since they have opened their doors, 2,000 and 6 children have been saved. And you guys are a huge part of that, because every year, you guys are among the largest contributors in this community. And that is through the Hagerstown Area Pregnancy Clinic Bottle Campaign. We are kicking that off today. You can grab your bottles in the Welcome Center. There's a table in the back, and there are some over here by the door. And I want you guys, and I know you will, to continue to be one of the highest contributors, not because it's some label to be gained, not because of the prestige, but because you understand the value of the lives that you are saving. So make sure you pick up that bottle and continue that legacy. All right, so with all of that being said, like I said, there is a solution to all of this, not just through the pregnancy clinic, but for those other things that we spoke of as well. We need a reminder for ourselves, and we need to remind the world just how valuable life is. All life. We need to realize it for ourselves, and we need to tell the world, because our value and our worth lies in the gospel message. Each and every one of us in this room, the baby in the womb, the homeless guy on the corner, that guy who pulled out in front of you in traffic, the kid who rammed that shopping cart into the back of your ankle, even the shooters and the killers. Every life has the same value. And that last part probably sounds a little bold, but I didn't come up with that concept. God did. All right? And you're probably thinking, I can say that because nothing tragic like that has ever touched my life. But for those of you who have been in the area for a while, do you remember a story about a little over nine years ago about a wildlife officer in Pennsylvania who was shot and killed in line of duty? Some of you guys remember that. He was out on his routine nightly watch, and he came across a poacher, right? Now, poaching is illegal in itself, but the dude who was out there, he had already been in trouble with the law, and he wasn't even supposed to have a weapon. So to cover his own tail, shot Dave. As Dave was running away, shot him again in the back and killed him. Dave was an awesome guy. He was my brother's best friend. He was the best man at his wedding. He was a good friend of my family. He had a great heart. The world had handed him some bad cards, but he never let that change the good heart that he had. And that made me really angry. But to this day, I pray for that guy who shot him. His name is Christopher. He's got a wife and a daughter. And I pray that somehow they will find Jesus, because regardless of what happened, they are still valuable. They still have purpose in their lives. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." 1 John 2:2 says that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Because you see, life, the value is determined by the price someone is willing to pay. And Jesus paid the same costly price for everyone in this world, past, present, and future. The difference lies in who accepts this payment and who rejects it. For whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have to make people know the value of their life. We have to make them know about the price that has been paid for them, and that they simply need to accept it. So each and every life has the same value, but each and every life has a unique calling and purpose. And that purpose is customized to bring glory to God and expand his kingdom. God doesn't prefab or mass produce people. There's not an assembly line up in heaven like My Size Barbie that he's just cranking human beings off. You are the only you that God made, and then he broke the mold. And if you heard an amen, that was my dad over there saying amen, broke the mold. Isaiah 43:7 tells us that he created, formed us, fashioned us for his glory. All those that be called after my name, I have created, fashioned, and made for my honor. And that word fashioned implies working with great detail, like we just sang, as the potter does with the clay. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 139. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be up here on the screen. I will be reading from the NLT, but if you have a different version, you're going to get the same story in the end. So again, it's Psalm 113, verses 13 through 16. "You have made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He handcrafted us with everything we would need to fulfill his plan for us before we ever took our first breath. He packs us on purpose for a purpose. Just like you might be getting ready to take a trip. Some of you might be getting ready to take a ski trip, right? So you're going to pack for the purpose of the trip. You're going to pack gloves and coats and scarves. You're packing for the purpose of the trip. But if you're going to go to the beach, you're going to pack completely different because it's a different purpose. You're going to pack suntan lotion and your towels and your bathing suits. You pack for the purpose of the trip. And that's what God does for us. We each have a different purpose. We each have a different calling, and he packs us on purpose for a purpose. You guys remember a guy named Steve Irwin? I loved that dude growing up, right? That man was passionate about animals. So God packed him with curiosity and adventure. Martin Luther King, he led the civil rights movement, and God knew that he would need courage, tenacity, and love. He created Walt to minister to the elderly and the sick, so he packed him with extra compassion. He knew that the staff here would have to put up with me, so he packed them with at least a triple dose of patience. Packed on purpose for a purpose. And Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that that purpose is good. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. I give you a future and a hope. He takes your experiences, your passions, your abilities, and even your weaknesses and weaves them together into a beautiful tapestry that portrays your purpose. And the road to that destiny isn't always going to be easy. You're going to hit a few potholes. There are going to be some obstacles that come your way. The enemy is going to try to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. But God's plans cannot be stopped by him. Isaiah 14:27, the Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? Job 42:2, this is Job talking to God. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. Isaiah 46:11, I have said what I would do, and I will do it. What God begins, he continues. What he starts, he finishes. What he initiates, he completes. Someone is probably sitting here thinking, that all sounds well and good for somebody else, but I'm in the dark here. I really don't see this hope and this future. But guess what? That verse, that wasn't written to a hopeful people either. That was written to Israel when they were being held captive in Babylon. And that was a pretty dark place for them. And they would be in captivity for 70 years until that promise would be fulfilled. That sounds like a pretty dark place to be, right? But God does some of his best work when it seems like he isn't doing anything at all. He does his best work in the dark. All right, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. How many of you guys remember when cameras were not on your phone? Oh, so I'm not the oldest one in the room. Great. They used to be these big, bulky things, right? And they had this stuff inside called film. You pressed the button, and the picture was captured on that film inside. But you couldn't see the final picture until an expert developer took that film into a very dark room and exposed it to very harsh chemicals. So those negatives were taken care of in the dark, but the beauty wasn't revealed until it came into the light. God does some of his best work in the dark. So God made this promise to the Israelites, this promise of good things that he knew was many years down the road. But in the meantime, he told them to settle in, build homes, plant vineyards, and do everything they could to make the most of life right where they were. All the while, he was developing them for that future promise. And the same is true for us. It may not be time for us to see it yet, but our destiny is still in place. And we need to do our best right where we are to make the most of life, maximize our potential, and let God develop us for that future fulfillment. So in saying this, my hope is that we go away from here with a renewed sense of the value of life, not only for ourselves, but for every life on this planet. And some of you are probably still thinking I'm crazy because I think that terrorists and murderers have a purpose. But do you remember a guy in the New Testament named Saul? He was a zealous guy who persecuted and killed folks because they were Christians. Then he had the Damascus Road experience, and he chose to follow God. And God transformed that killer into the greatest evangelist and apostle that this world has ever seen. Check out what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and has made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to the stewardship of the ministry. Though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and was shamefully and outrageously and aggressively insulting to him, nevertheless, I obtained mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. Just like those killers, just like those murderers, acting in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace, unmerited favor, and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out super abundantly and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance, that Jesus Christ the Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. And then he goes on in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom, a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for all, the testimony given at the right and proper time. Paul is pretty much saying, if God can save me and use me, he can save and use anyone. And in verse 4 there, it says he wishes that all people would be saved. He wants to save us, and he wants to use us. So just as an illustration, this is a nice, crisp $100 bill. It's pretty valuable to me. I don't see one very often, right? Pretty valuable to you guys? Like, if I would offer this to you, no strings attached, you would take it, right? Right? But what if I would fold it? Now it's got this ugly crease in it, right? Would you still want it, even though it's got, right? Okay. What if I fold it a couple more times? Now it's really ugly and really creased. Would you still take it? What if I balled it up and I crushed it? Now it's really crinkly. Would you still take it? But what if I stomped on it, crushed it into the ground? I'm pretty sure I stepped in a little turkey present out there on my way in. Would you still want that bill? You might take it, you might sanitize it, you might take a shower, but you would still take this $100 bill. And why is that? Because regardless of what just happened to it, it hasn't lost its value. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, no matter how crushed, how broken, no matter how much turkey poo has been in your life, you have not lost your value. Praise team, you guys can go ahead and come back up. Maybe you are here today, and this is the first time that you have ever heard how valuable that you are, that there is a Savior who paid the ultimate price for you, and you want to receive that payment today. You can do that. They're going to be playing a couple songs here. These altars will be open. There are people available to pray with you. Do not leave here today without accepting that payment. Maybe you're here today and you have received that payment, but you need a little help seeing other people the way God sees them, that they still have value and they still have purpose. You can pray and ask God to open your eyes, open your heart, so that you can see everyone through his perspective. So regardless of where you stand, let's go out of here today carrying the message that every life matters. May everyone we come in contact feel that sense of value. All it takes is a simple smile or a hello. This world would be totally different if people understood the simple message that every life matters. Not because of anything that we can do or say, but because of what Jesus did. The value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. And Christ paid the highest price for this entire world. And that makes every life priceless.